It's a nicer way to tell that story through music than it is to be standing on a platform speaking.
Well, one of the skills that Woody brought to the table as a songwriter was his background in community singing. Like, we go back to when he was playing with the Pampa Junior Chamber of Commerce and his early bands. He realized early on that you created a chorus that was easy to sing. And the idea was to get everybody singing. So you have to go back in time, too, because there's no movies, there's no television in these small rural communities. So the fun of music in the 1920s was to get everyone singing. Everyone came to a show to sing along, not to sit back and watch someone do 3.5-hour performance, which is kind of what we think of now. As a musician, if you think of going to a show, you go, well, I'm going to sit back for 3 hours and they're going to sing for me. But it wasn't like that. Music in Woody's time was participatory. And so he always created very simple choruses that people could learn in 2 seconds. He would sing a verse, tell a story, but it always go back to the chorus so people could participate. And that's motivating, too. You know, when people are singing along, that's how you get people to stand along, cheer along, march along, change along. There's all kinds of other alongs you can get to through the basic premise of common words and common ideas. And an easy chorus is a perfect example of that use of language to create common movement.
In the 60s, we had the Hootenannies. Doesn't that find its origination with Woody and Pete?
I've heard 2 different stories on the origins of the word Hootenanny, one from Pete Seeger and one from Bess Hawes, who was another singer in the Almanacs in New York. The thing they all agree on is that they are the first to use that word, Hootenanny.
What was a Hootenanny?
Well, a Hootenanny, they would get together once a week and invite all of their friends to come and sing. And they would have one large room or one space where everyone could bring instruments and sing along. You could introduce a song, you could write a song, you could play a song that everybody knew. But basically, you'd kind of go around the room and everybody would say, let's sing this one, let's sing that one. You didn't have to be a professional, genius guitar player. If you knew 2 or 3 chords, you could probably play along most of the songs. Again, we talked about the common choruses that everyone could sing along. So it was communal jams, whatever you want to call them now, but it was very inclusive. Everybody could come. They would put up a notice and just show up for Hootenanny on Sunday. They did it every Sunday afternoon in the loft that they lived in. And then it became a TV show.
Right.
Years later, that was a joke. Years later,
right.
The idea of a Hootenanny. Of course, it evolved into regular Hootenannies in parks. It really grew into a national pastime where in every city and every place, people would get together now for Hootenannies in parks and schools and wherever people with instruments could find a way to get together.
It became very popular on college campuses.
Right. And like I said, it was very inviting because a lot of folk songs only use 2 or 3 chords. So a lot of these songs you could play along and sing along, and you didn't have to be a genius. You know, any instrument you could play, learn 2 or 3 chords, and you could participate.